post-show. I almost
ended you're going to stop the recording.
Like, I was like, oh, wait. We still have like at least another 20, 30 minutes of talking to each other.
I need to run to the restroom.
Yeah.
he's just ready for it. Executive decision.
So you're way more for just improving the ad reads now?
Oh, I just don't feel like writing any. Take so much time trying to figure that shit out.
It's fine.
And those last three ones I made were like, man, how do I do this shit? And then I sit down and I'm sitting there for like 2 hours. Like, oh, hey, okay, there's an idea after the 2 hours is over.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It was one of those things where like the first like 8 or 10 that you had felt like they came so quick. Like you had that list. But when we went to go check it out, it's like, oh my God, this thing is full.
Yeah, that was like a 6 hour endeavor.
Yeah, you had like a huge list of stuff that you made. And I was like, okay, I hadn't listened to any of it yet. And you started reading them. I was like, this is fucking gold. Like, this is so fucking good. And then as we started kind of going on and recording more and more, and I was like, ooh, this list is, you're like, hey, I only got 6 this week. I was like, ooh. I was like, hey, I only got 2. I'm like, ooh, this is getting a lot harder for you, huh? This is like hard to keep up with.
Yeah, every once in a while I'll look at the list. I'm like, product, thing, funny.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's, there is a level of the entire show. Is we so far has been like, oh, we just spitball, we just improvise, so it's not hard to record because it's just like, hey, here's an idea, let's just spitball at each other for like whatever, an hour and a half. But yeah, having to sit down and write a cohesive ad, it's like, yeah, man, that's tough. It's tough to try to come up with something funny and try to top yourself or match yourself.
Or not like make them too similar.
Yeah, or not make them way too similar. But yeah, I mean, that was fun. The goblin one was pretty good.
It was so bad.
It's terrible. But it was fun.
It was fun to do.
Yeah, it was fun. It's not well written, and it's not a perfectly performed ad, but it is really fun.
With our shitty ads anyways.
I just got to think of what the image is going to look like. For goblin grooms.
Some creature taking a bath.
But like, there also has to be the creature annihilating a goblin in the background somehow.
You put a bear in one of those big wooden bathtubs. There's a goblin brushing its back. And then in the bear's mouth is another goblin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Are you still trying to like scrub teeth? Or yeah. Do something?
I like the idea of like in the bathtub. So you have like the bear belly up in the bathtub and one goblin just scrubbing it. And then, like, an Easter egg beneath the bear is just, like, a hand sticking up of a goblin. It's just been smashed under the bear. Love it.
Yeah, such a fucking... I was really trying to go, like, oh, this is, like, you know, hey, this is an outreach program. And you're just like...
Double down.
Also, they're fodder.
Also, they're dying left and right.
They got high numbers.
But it's fine because they're underpaid. Oh, goblins.
Classic fucking... The classic use of goblins.
Yeah.
It's like... the last one I've seen was... what's the jackal creature? There's like a...
Jackal creature?
There's like a, it's almost like a dog, but like a standing dog.
A gnoll?
A gnoll, yeah. Like gnolls are the last ones I've seen where like people use them as like fodder. Cause like I haven't seen a lot of people, at least not like on a lot of like televised stuff where they use goblins as fodder. But I've seen gnolls.
Any of the shorter creatures except for halflings. Like any of the more fantasy, like a subhuman.
Yeah. I was just saying, it's been a while since I've seen
goblins and
like in a lot of like a lot of production stuff, a lot of stuff I've seen on YouTube or whatever. Like I often don't see.
I did the dog kobold interaction again. Didn't even talk to him this time. They just massacred them. Zero conversation. Like, genuinely zero conversation. I did, literally, it was the same interaction, just a different campaign. The, like, halt in the road thing, that stupid fucking interaction, because I think it's so funny. And then it's an ambush. And, like, just did, like, 0% trying to interact, to the point where the players were upset with each other. They just massacred these creatures. And, like, every time they hit, I was like, cool, how many points of damage are you doing? Yeah, cool. How do you do it? And by, the, like, the fourth or fifth one, they're like, oh, my God, these are just, we don't need to be fighting these creatures. They're so little and innocent and,
you know,
easy to murder.
Not to fucking keep blowing smoke up fucking Dungeon Soup's ass, but it reminds me, one of the shorts was, it looks like a ranger or like a druid like character, like a female character. She's like going through the woods and there's like an injured squirrel. And she's like, oh, whatever, squirrel. So she heals the squirrel. There's like a whole scene where she's taking care of it, feeding it. They take a bath together. It's a whole thing. And then you see the ranger walking with the squirrel on shoulder. And then the squirrel just takes an arrow and the squirrel just like flies off screen and it cuts and it's a goblin. It's a goblin with a little thing like saying something. And the woman reacts like, oh my God, and shoots her arrow and kills the goblin and goes to squirrel. That's like the other half of the tune. My favorite part is if you have your closed captions on, the closed captions reveal what the goblin is saying. The goblin says, beware of the squirrel. Like he's trying to save the squirrel, because after the girl kills the goblin and goes back to the squirrel, it's actually just a gnome druid who has been shape-shifting as a squirrel to get close to this ranger. And he's just like, oh, like, and the girl goes like, wait, who are you? It's like, oh, it's me, your friend, the squirrel. It's like, what? Like, oh, like I've been hit. You got to help me. It's like, no, this changes everything. But it's like, yeah, the goblin
I've been bathing with you.
The goblin was trying to just be a homie. He was just trying to help out. But it's just like, yeah, immediate.
Oh, my favorite part is this time when they did the interaction, the part of the world that they're in, like, these dog kobolds, as stupid as they are, were hired by the criminal guild that is the campaign. So their whole thing was to be on the road. They were supposed to rob them. And then, like, if they had any conversation, they're going to be like, well, we were hired to keep the roads unsafe, so give us all your stuff. And then they could have the interaction and get some, like, these kobolds genuinely had information.
Yeah.
And they are the utmost of, like, not combat ready combatants. Yeah. So, like, yeah, you could absolutely bully these dogs, like, to no end.
Also to the degree.
And you will win, and they have information. Like, there's so much that you could get from them. No. Yeah, they just exploded all of them.
And to the degree that it would be like a gray level, like, you know, the kobolds that we usually run in our games, which is like, there's almost not an ability to not say the truth.
Yeah. Because they're that dumb.
Yeah.
So the way I wrote them is that they are dumb enough to not, they will give away a lot of information, but in almost a riddle-like way, because they were too stupid to understand the information. So they were just going to give up information, but it was all going to be indirect. Huh. But, like, they had a decent amount of information, but they would do things like refer to one of the people as, like, the dog man.
Yeah.
Something like that. Or big dog or something that. And then, like, the reality is there is a shape-shifting druid who can shape-shift into a dog-like creature, and that is one of the bad guys, one of the bigger bad guys.
Yeah.
And you would get that information, but in a weird way where he's the dog man, and if you don't ask any questions, then you get no answers. Like, you have to ask questions. They will continuously just spew out nonsense, but all of it's, like, hints and clues, and you could connect dots. No. Shatter.
No, it's funny. Like, that little moment made me think of, like, a scenario where it's, like, you have, like, the two quote-unquote leaders of the kobolds, and, like, let's say they start talking to them. They're, like, the two higher-ups, and one of them is saying something. And then the other one goes like, no, you don't say that part. And then he keeps talking. He's like, no, not that. Let me do this. And he starts talking. Then the other one goes, no, not that part.
Yeah.
Like, you're saying too much. Like, they're like fighting with each other. And they're like, no, you're revealing too much. I go, here, let me take over. It's like, no, don't say that.
When it got down to like the last kobold, one of them was just like, you killed my dad. And then like tried to stab him. And then just got absolutely obliterated by a hammer. These are people. You just massacred them. One of them was the child of the other one. Also, like, you guys don't know this, but I'll give you this meta information. The first guy that you killed, that was their chief. Congratulate. You just took out a whole tribe of people. Due to unwillingness to converse.
I mean, I gotta do it for the post show at some point or something, at some point release it. But I was looking through some old documents and I found the story of Sam Hearthwell, which was Lance. So it was like the whole, like, the guy that you captured, and it was my moment of like, you were like, you go to your characters like, no, that was my dad.
To
force your characters to realize, hey, this is, you did a bad thing.
I love hiding meaningless letters on people. So like, you kill bandits and whatnot, and they're like, cool, I'm looting. What do I loot? Oh, you get this. There's also a letter. Cool. It's in Elven. Do you read Elven? No. Do you want to give it to someone? Cool, they read it. And it's just like a, dear mom, I've been out here for a few months. Things aren't going the way that I thought they were. They would. Please, home.
Please, could you make sure to tuck in my daughter?
Yeah.
Well, tonight.
I'll have enough money for her medicine soon. Don't worry.
Fuck you. Don't go around killing people.
And then if you have a group of like mine, they're like, cool, I want more. Give me more tragic details.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We ripped that guy's eyes out. So what else did he do?
So I was thinking, about our noir game, and I think I do want to make it a little bit, me and Nick's talked about this a little bit, but I want to make it a little bit fantasy where it is just a Delta Green sheet, but then exclusively for flavor reasons, you can play as whatever fantasy races that you want. It's only flavor. There are no mechanics to this. But you could play as whatever, you know, an orc or...
Are you telling me that you want me to be a noir kobold?
No, I'm actually not. I think because of the buddy cop one, I think we shouldn't double down on that, doing two buddy cop kobolds. But, yeah, you could be other fantasy creatures. But there will almost certainly be a kobold in there, yeah.
But also, part of me would love... Not saying that you need to do this. I could do this we don't need to. We just have this moment here in the post show. I just love the concept of like a kobold going to the scene
into the
like,
noir moment.
Ah, the big dog's over here. And then in his head is like, yes, the dame gave me a cigarette. It stank. It stank like a queen.
I go
breed.
Talk to big dog. You stay here. So I approached the man in the corner and he's surrounded by his goons.
I love it. I love it so much to just...
Like the alpha in his pack.
Oh my god. Code switching from dumb kobold into...
His internal monologue read this fucking cool, suave, fucking has everything under control.
I've not decided yet. Because I really do want to play into the, like, I know it is goofy and stupid, but I want to play into it being like a grittier noir. So, like, I want you guys to, like, take it a little bit seriously and genuinely try to nail the noir moments. I just think it would be fun to also have the flavor of it being a little fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, you come across the bartender and he's an elf, whatever. I'd probably pick the most boring one, but you get what I mean.
Yeah, no. I get you. You want to have, like, the world is set up in, like, this... Like we were talking about, which is the world is fantasy, but guess what? Not everybody in fucking Forgotten Realms is fucking magical. Not everyone goes on adventures.
Well, I don't even mean that. No, I want it to still be modern.
You want the world to be...
It's the 50s. It's 50s America, but with fantasy races for no reason.
Like Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of like toony stuff going on.
Yeah.
But it's still
just a little bit. Yeah. It'd just be a fun little flavor to inject for no reason.
Sure. Yeah, I get it. I just don't like, I get that you want to go more serious. Part of me wants to just have fun with the like internal monologues. And to me, when I get silly with internal monologues, it's like that breaks away from seriousness.
Oh,
but
totally.
I could do it serious. Like you could do it. Like,
well, I don't want it to be like overwhelmingly serious, but no, I do want it to be very noir-y. Like I don't want to be laughing through the whole thing. Like laughing after I think is great.
I was just thinking like Sin City.
Yeah.
The Sin City has those noir narrative monologues.
Yeah.
And it's all serious. It's none of it is like.
Oh, most noirs are serious.
But what we, you know, are examples.
But also we can't help ourselves.
I was very inspired by this one episode of American Dad where they do a noir thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. For me, my head goes to like the game Black Cat, Sin City, Watchmen has plenty of noir style moments.
Yeah.
Anything to do with Rorschach. It's very, very, very noir.
I just, I don't have a lot of media that I can immediately think of that has that campy 50s, like internal monologue.
Campy? I don't know. But there's plenty I can think of that do have.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. When I say campy, it's something that has at least when I look at it, seems campy at the time period and when it was made, it was meant to be serious.
Yeah.
But when I see it now, I'm like, that's a little silly.
It's a little silly. Yeah. But that's kind of what I want to achieve. Where like I don't want it to be like overwhelmingly serious by any means, but yeah.
But I got fed so much Sin City shit after we talked about it. I think maybe I stumbled upon it at some point.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize how crazy that movie is with narration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even 300's like that a little bit.
I was thinking today, I kind of want to start it with that. So my thought process is like, have you guys come up with the character, but only on a relatively surface level?
I have not at all.
No, not right now. You don't have to do anything. But like, you know, come up with whatever accent you want and blah, blah, blah. And then we don't need much of a session zero, especially after we play Delta Green. This is more of one of the actual play ones, but like we could still do a little mini session zero of like, hey, here is the business that you guys are going to be privatized. Here's the business that you guys run, potentially, you know, you can decide how long you've been in it together, blah, blah, blah. And then like who you are a little bit in terms of like, think about like just general personality and accents and things like that. But then when we actually start the game, I kind of want to paint you guys. This is how I want to start it. I think is I want to paint you guys in as in like walk you guys into the narrative a little bit and then have each of you start the game with a noir moment to give you that starting inspiration. Just to like immediately set the mood. I already know how I want to do it and I don't want to give away the example,
sure.
But like as an example would be like, you know, you just got done with a case, as you are walking down the street, smoking a cigarette, leaving behind a now widowed woman as you walk through her neighborhood back towards your car. Give me a noir moment and just, you know, picture in the, you know, narrating yourself walking down the street, being overly introspective and descriptive of the scenes around you and shit like that. Like, I kind of want to start it off with a noir moment from both of you. I'll paint the general picture of what's going on around you. Also, I think kind of needs to be, it means a lot of pivoting on my side, but kind of a mechanic that needs to be involved in this system is that like, yeah, you guys do have the freedom to, you know, be responsible with it, but canonize things. Like you guys decide that you're, you know, I put you guys in an office building and this is just mid game. I put you guys in an office building and then you talk about how the front in your noir moment, how the clerk at the front desk isn't paying attention at all. And it's like, yeah, they're just an aloof person now. That's just canon.
Oh,
you guys can kind of canonize things in your noir moments.
I was going to be silly when you said that, where like, oh, you have a noir. It's like,
So I took a deep breath of my menthol. It burned in my lungs. And I remembered, I should get my brakes checked.
But like, yeah, just like the whole like insinuating stuff into the canon. So in the buddy cop game,
you told me that
have an ability where you have an ally in the city. So you get to just establish that you know somebody.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever it is, like, hey, we're gonna go talk to a friend of mine. You're just gonna make up a location, a person. That person's gonna be there and they're gonna be able to give you some amount of information.
Yeah. So like, hey, I know of this bodega owner on 4th, and anything that's going on in that neighborhood he hears about.
And it could be, it'll be like one of those moments, like any of these like Rush Hour movies where it's like, I don't know nothing. What are you talking about? And then you have to like have that interaction.
That's so funny. You know how you could do that? Is just like, you could at the top of the day, I don't know, however you would want to play this, but like at the top of the day, roll a D4 and you have that many people that you know on that day. So like if you roll a 1, it's like, fuck, I gotta save that. Like whenever you, cause like the idea is that like you're gonna be in a pinch at some point and you need to have someone, and it's like you're in a shootout or whatever and your tires get blown out, and it's like, all right, look, I know a guy. We could call him up real quick. He could be a getaway driver. I don't much like dealing with them because we will owe him a favor if we call upon him, but he could get us out of this pinch.
My initial concept of it was going to be a recharge system.
That's what I wanted to do with normal. I think that's a good way to do it.
It's like you can do it.
Hold on, let me see if I know a guy.
Yes, yeah, so let's see if you know a guy so you can recharge it.
Yeah, I like that. That's how I wanted to do the noir moments as well, because I want you guys constantly bidding for noir moments. If the whole mini campaign is noir moments, we've only but done our jobs. But I love the idea of it being a recharge system, because it's like you can only get that inspiration or whatever through, you know, like when you need it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's say inspiration only lasts an hour or something, or maybe even shorter. So it's like, oh yeah, I want that inspiration because something's going on right now and blah, 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 blah. So yeah, I'm going to go into a noir moment, roll, cool, it recharges. I go into the noir moment. I express these things. Cool. Yeah. That sounds like you're looking for something. Give me a perception check at advantage or whatever. And you're getting to canonize things in the noir moment or whatever. But like, let's say you guys are kind of in a pinch and you're in this shootout or whatever, and your tires are blown out and you want to have a noir moment. And like, if you were to succeed, maybe you would notice that there's a car with the engine running, but someone abandoned it. Cool. Now you have an out. You can get out of here. But you go to do your noir moment and and you don't recharge, so you can't do your noir moment right now, and you just have to play through the situation.
And it's something where like it definitely have to be, you can't just like keep rolling for it. Like there's some sort of limitation you have to do where like, oh, you know, there's some amount of time before you can call to it again.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just, you know, it's a funny concept. I want to have it where like the ability of the ally in the city is.
Oh, I like the I know a guy mechanic.
Yeah.
I think the I know a guy mechanic is so great because all of the people, I can't wait to make up people that we know.
Yeah.
I love the idea where it's like, well, I got an informant who's heavy in the drug game. And so like, we could probably find him. He usually frequents this bar.
And then also I wanted to have it sort of like, depending on your approach to your own ally, to this person, like they're always going to be beneficial. It's part of the ability. They are beneficial.
Yeah.
But some of them are going to be way, like, again, depending on how you approach, are going to be like, oh, I don't know nothing. You know?
Yeah. And so there's still NPCs that you have to talk to. It's just like as a player, you're placing in your own potential, what's the word? Lead.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that lead's going to be successful, but you're adding a lead to the situation. Or adding an escape route, or adding whatever.
It's one of the things about watching like the Rush Hours and Men in Black movies. It's like, oh, they always just go to a guy.
They all know a guy.
They always know. There's like, I think in the first Russia, there's like three or four guys that they go to. They're just like, oh yeah, here's this guy, this drug dealer in this corner. I'm going to talk to him, get some information. Cool. Oh, there's this guy that owns this business and he gives me this information. Oh, this person knows this other person. It's like, oh, like fucking Christ. How many, like, you know everybody in this fucking city. They give you all these details.
How many guys do you know?
It's like, ah, yeah, you know, like it's a part of like those movies. So it's like, oh, how do you capture that? I was like, oh yeah, I could just let my players improv it, or I have to improv in response. And like, you're just canonizing something.
Yeah.
You're canonizing this person here, and I have to make them fit into the thing that you're doing.
I think my situation, the noir moments, is like at least my immediate concept is it's like bidding for advantage.
Yeah, you're
bidding for a role.
You're allowing for your characters to notice something. Because that's what I feel like is the part of the noir moments is like a
not just
a piece
notice
of
something,
insight.
But like again, like say like you guys are scoping out a scene, right?
Sure.
You're sitting outside, you're parked outside of say a liquor store where you think they're running an illegal gambling thing in the back. You know there's a game going on and you have to get into that game somehow. And then you could go into your noir moment and you're like, the guy up front seems preoccupied with this game. I wonder if I can slip past. And that's kind of the gist of your noir moment. And it's like, okay, give me advantage on your stealth. Give me a stealth check at advantage. Let's see if you could slip past. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's bidding for a role. It's bidding for a role and getting advantage on that role.
Yeah. Should be fun. I gotta keep working on it. I gotta keep putting it together.
I don't think mine's going to take much. Like I want it to be short. I just want to hit relatively mystery with leads and certain moments to hit the feeling of the theme. But overall, I don't need it to be,
I
don't think it's going to be overwhelming writing it at all.
Yeah. I have the event that causes it. I have the people to follow and I have kind of like a basic thing, but I also have like I came up with the idea of like, oh, I want to start you guys in a particular place, but like how do I root all that? And because I kind of all want it to kind of mean something, and so like, oh, okay, cool. And also I decided to make a whole subplot of stuff happening where like it has nothing to do with you guys. Like,
yeah,
that whole subplot,
because you're an idiot and you can't help but write world events.
I just wanted it.
For Delta Green, for system exploration in general, we were talking about like picture D&D, right? Running any system that we explore, running the D&D equivalent of what would be a low-level campaign, so somewhere between 1 and 3, and then running a second game that would be somewhere around 10, right? So a low-level, mid-level game. So obviously the initial one, when we play on Monday, if you're up for it, would be a low-level. And then after we play that, we would like to do for system exploration a mid-level. I don't know what that means in Delta. So whatever you think it means is fine.
Mm.
It might, I mean, for Delta, it might mean that we're just playing characters that are already moderately insane.
Mm.
That's my guess as to what it means.
I think when you describe in Delta in that matter, it'd probably be like the threat level. I would say like... low level means like, oh, there's some guy who found something and he's doing something with it. And then mid level will be like, there is a conspiracy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the threat level is higher. The danger, the risk is higher. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And probably starting off with better skills, but more insanity, I imagine, if you're playing
mid-level.
Yeah,
like a character who's deeper in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably has one of the adjusted to things.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, we could do all of that in the session zeros, the subsequent session zeros that we will play.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's just our general thoughts is... Cool.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Next week, a little bit of Delta.
Oh, also, Gray, if you could control yourself on the weekend and not show up hungover...
That'd be great.
You know, if you could...
Yeah, I drank a whole bucket.
Just bringing down the mood.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy how hungover you are by comparison to the other. I don't feel good.
I cannot wait to go to bed.
I'm hungry. I want to go home and eat.
My body's not tired anymore. I don't think I'm tired anymore, to be honest, because I had a fucking monster while we were recording. But I still wish for bed very hard. I don't even know if I'd be able to sleep anymore. I have so much caffeine in my body, but I want to be asleep so bad.
All right, let's go find a cleric.
Remove this curse.
Get this rid of me.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.